Estate planning is fun, said no one ever. Are you tired of the same old conventional approach to estate planning? Do you want to leave behind a legacy that truly reflects your passions and values? On this episode, I have a conversation with Rich Littman, author of Last Bucket List. Discover how estate planning can be creative, meaningful, and a source of inspiration for generations to come.
This is the Executor Help Podcast, the show for people who want the sense of security knowing all their affairs are in order. Avoid the stress and anxiety of what could happen to your estate, to your assets, and to your family when you're no longer here. Now here's your host, David Eady.
With me today, I've got a ghostwriter of best-selling how-to books, Rich Littman. He decided take a little bit of a left turn and get into the daylight, as he puts it. And he became an author of a really fun book. He did it for people known as the Will-Less Foot Draggers. And the book's called Last Bucket List. So Rich, first off, I want to thank you for taking the time to be here on the show to have a conversation.
Thank you for having me on, David.
You've written a lot of best-selling how-to books, and you could have written about anything else, but you decided, and you're not a lawyer, you decided to write the book Last Bucket List. Why did you decide to do that?
That's a good question. So what happened was I dragged my feet for about 10 years about getting a will started and finally got up the nerve and went, found an estate planning attorney, and we're sitting in her office. And after about 2 minutes of pleasantries, she looked me straight in the eye and she said these words, "So, Rich, when you die," and then there were a lot of words that came after that that I did not hear. What I heard was the sound of the whooshing of my inner ears as I was contemplating my own death. And I remember thinking to myself at that moment, I had two thoughts. One is, I'm just not having any fun. And the second thought that occurred to me was, how can I make this fun? Is it possible to make this fun? So when I got home from that meeting, I went on Google and I said, put in estate planning and fun. And it was a blank screen. There was nothing there. Nobody has ever tried to make this fun. I don't think anybody ever thought of it as fun before. So that was the genesis of Last Bucket List. I made estate planning fun.
So estate planning, when someone hears a book about that, most people's eyes will roll over. Why do you think there's such a reaction? Because there's no fun in it?
That's right. There's a lot of fear wrapped up in it. Everybody has their own reasons not to do estate planning. I've discovered since I started working on this project that a lot of people don't even know what the term estate planning means. Some of them, even who have gotten older and I consider somewhat wiser, they don't know what that is. So it's a weird term for that. It's why I call it Last Bucket List, because it makes sense at that point. But the story was, I was at a party as I was starting to work on this book, and people were telling stories about what they do. And somebody said, "What are you doing? What are you working on?" I said, "I'm writing a book about estate planning." And I watched their body language change. All of a sudden, they started to inch away. Everybody suddenly had to go to the bathroom or go get a drink. And I said, "Wait," I said, "it's about creative estate planning." And all of a sudden, they stopped. They turned around and they said, "What do you mean?" And that's when I knew I was onto something, that to inject creativity into estate planning is the element of it that was missing. And that was the essence of what I put into Last Bucket List.
It's funny you should talk about the estate planning. You bring it up. I don't know. Did you see the movie Barbie?
I fell asleep halfway through it.
I don't want to even get into that. I hear you. But there's a part at the beginning, not even Barbie can talk about death, because she remembers she's dancing and she said, "Hey, does anybody think about death?" And the place went dead silent. And I was like, wow, even Barbie can't talk about death. And she had to change the subject. So I guess that's the same sort of reaction. The people, when you started to talk about estate planning, they were like, "Oh, what's this guy? Where's he coming from? Why does he want to have this conversation at a social event?" Interesting. So the book is for who, would you say, the bucket list?
It's for anybody that has put off estate planning for whatever reason that they have. It's for them, but I've discovered that you have a family dynamic where, let's say, in one instance, the wife, who has a longer life expectancy and may be younger, wants the husband to, they want to go in and do an estate plan, and he's just not doing it. He's dragging his feet. He's adamant. He's, don't bring it up. It turns into an argument. So the book is for that, the spouse in that case who wants to get their mate, their partner to get involved in this, and nothing has worked so far. It's also for people who are advisors in the estate planning business, because what's happening now is they are buying this book and giving it to their clients who are the stubborn ones. And it's starting a dialogue, and it's getting people interested in something that they just, it's so easy to put off.
So how is a bucket list different than a will?
So the last bucket list is a precursor to a will. A will is a legal document, and you want to talk to an attorney about that. You want to talk to a financial planner about setting that up. But what last bucket list does is it gives you the confidence and the background and the inspiration to go into the attorney and to start the estate planning process. Very often, like I did, you go in and you sit down with the attorney and you're lost. You haven't done any preparation. You're putting yourself in their hands to tell you what to do. And very often when that happens, you go in, you divide stuff up, and then you get a document that you can't understand and you never read, and it goes on a shelf. And in this case, when you start with last bucket list, you then can, when you go speak with the attorney or go talk to the financial planner, you have a good idea what you want. And you can say during that first meeting, here's what I want. Here's what I'd like to do. Let's work together to make this happen.
I know in the book, you say that there's a lack of creativity when it comes to the bucket list. Why do you say that lawyers don't have any, or don't have any creativity, or don't encourage it when you're going through the process?
Some lawyers are creative, but the process of creativity and estate planning really isn't part of their job description. They want to turn out a legal will that's going to hold up and be good for you. But the idea of adding creativity to it is just not something that they do. What I suggest is when you come in with the ideas that you've come up with on your own, and you have, let's say you go to see an estate planning attorney and they're not interested in working with you on this creativity, that's the time to shop around and find an attorney who welcomes your creative ideas and wants to hear them and actually is inspired by them, him or herself, and knows how to incorporate what you want into the legal documentation that they'll produce for you.
Everybody's bucket list is going to be different. What makes up a bucket list? I got a bunch of questions when it comes to the bucket list. What makes up a bucket list, and how creative can some people get? Have you got any examples?
Yeah, I sure do. I asked an attorney about that when I was first starting out, and I said, what's your capability? How far can you take this? What can you do? And he said, pretty much, you can do whatever you want as long as it's legal. Well, that opens up just about everything except illegal, that you have licensed to do whatever you want creatively. And I'll give you an example. The most popular chapter in the book is called Missions of Meaning. What these missions are is where you are going to give an inheritance. That's part of the process, and how you divide it up is up to you. But what I suggest in the book is, why not carve off a little piece of that inheritance and assign a meaning to it, a meaning that's rooted in love, that you can then leave for son or daughter or whoever you want to. It's taking a curtain call, as opposed to just leaving money, which then becomes a number on a bank statement that people will spend to pay off a debt or to buy a new car or to go on a crazy vacation or let it sit on a CD. Here, what you're doing is assigning meaning to a portion of the money that the people that you love can then fulfill a task that you've set out for them. The favorite one that everybody likes in the book is where, let's say you have a child who's a bit shy or introverted, and you want to make sure that you're launching them after you're gone to do really good things for themselves, to take a portion of this money and to take it to an animal shelter. One maybe that you're familiar with, where you got a dog that you so loved for many years, And you have them, you write this down in a letter, and I give examples in the book on how that works. So you put it in a letter and say, take this money that I've separated out for this mission of meeting and take it to the animal shelter and tell the manager that day you want to pay for every adoption and all the spaying and neutering for everybody that comes through there adopting a dog as long as the money holds out. And you can make it as much as you, as little as you like. So what happens in the future that you've planted this seed is that they take this money to the shelter and family comes in and they're having the happiest day of the year of their lives. You know, when you get a new dog or a new cat, everybody's happy. And the manager, they're about to pay and they got the credit card out and they say, oh no, you see that person standing over there? And they turn around and look at your son or daughter and say, that person would like to pay for your adoption today, no strings attached. Now, what kind of scenario is that going to set up for that child? No matter how old they are at the time that they get this money, it's going to set up a beautiful scenario where they're going to meet a family. They're going to be thanking them. They might even jump up and down together. They get to pet the new dog together, maybe make lifelong friends. Who knows? But that's the idea of a mission of meaning, that every time from then on that child hears about an adoption or drives past that shelter or whatever, that you come to mind again. You come to mind for something very positive that you did for them. And that's a mission of meaning.
You've opened to make me think now that when you talk about the creativity, a lot of people don't think of what were their options. It's limitless in terms of what they can do when it comes to this creativity in their will as part of the bucket list.
You know, actually, David, nobody thinks of this. It just needs to be pointed out, basically. And then suddenly, wait, I can do that? And yes, if it's legal, you can do it. So what I've done in the book is given a whole bunch of examples of the different types of things that you can do. And you don't have to do any of them. But what it does is it opens up your own creative mind and say, hey, here's an idea. And I would like to do this for my son and daughter. And won't it be great when this takes place? Because you know that you can have this meaningful message show up 6 months after you're gone. So the tears have dried and life has gone on. And all of a sudden you make this curtain call in their lives for such a positive thing. That is how you live on with the people that you love. And I'm going to contrast that with how people think about a will and think about estate planning as about death, about dying, about dividing up money. It's all very cut and dry. And this gives it life. And that's how you live on with the people that you love.
Yeah. Have you gotten first off, and people can see what the two of us are talking over Zoom, but over your shoulder, you've got the saying there, find meaning. And that's what you're hoping for people to open up their minds in terms of the creativity, what they can do with their estate is to find meaning in terms of passing on their legacy and their values and their thoughts to others. Have you got another example from the book that you can share and how someone could open up their creativity?
Yes, there's also another chapter in there called It's About Writing a Letter. And I know that you've covered this in one of your other podcasts. I think they called it a legacy letter. Yeah. I've called it a forever letter. And basically what a forever letter is a way to write something to the people that you care about and that you love and say how you feel or give them confidence going forward. This isn't a letter that you would stuff money into. That's the mission of meaning where you're giving them a mission and you're having to fund it. This is from the heart. And a forever letter allows you to say the things that for some people that they've said their whole lives, but for a lot of guys who are really, they don't really express themselves very well in life. This allows them to say the things that they wish they could have said or wanted to say, and not in a negative way. Everybody has an axe to grind with somebody. I say, write that down, get it out, and feed it to the shredder, and then write your forever letter that where you can say the things that are from the heart that you want this person to hold on to for the rest of their lives. Very often, these letters get passed to grandchildren and great-grandchildren. They're very important to write. You don't have to. There's nothing that says you have to. But as people start to think about it, they get on the idea that, yeah, I would actually like to say something to these people that they can hold on to for as long as they live. And for the people that don't consider themselves a writer, I have two pages in here where I give running starts, a whole bunch of like lead-in sentences that you can use to just get the sentence started and give yourself a running start when, if you're not a writer, it really does help.
Yeah, I'm a big proponent of that. The legacy letter, this past Christmas, I couldn't figure out what to get my son. And I had heard about, I don't know, Blake Brewer in the legacy letter challenge. And I took his class and wrote a legacy letter to my son. And it and everything that you say that you want to, what your forever letter is going to do is exactly what my legacy letter is. Hopefully he's going to keep it forever, pass it on to, well, I've got a granddaughter. So now that made me think I'm going to write a letter to my granddaughter. But going through the exercise, it was cathartic because part of it made me think about the letter that my dad never got to write to me. And so I ended up writing, this was part of one of his Christmas gifts. And I think it's probably the most unique gift he's ever got. And hopefully he's going to keep that for years and years because it's heartfelt. And I gave some of my thoughts about life, how he should try to be good to others and be a good father, et cetera. I'm a big fan of the forever letter, legacy letter, whatever you're going to call it, to leave it to your beneficiaries, your children and grandchildren, because that's going to
And as I say, a lot of people start out writing the letter to be delivered after they're gone right away or 6 months later or wherever you want to set it up. But a lot of people are so happy with what they've written or satisfied or pleased or whatever the emotion is that's attached to what they finally put on paper, that they don't wait. I think like you just said, and you give the person that letter and you get to see their faces. They open it and read it. And boy, does that open discussions and ideas and opens a floodgate of things that are mostly left unsaid that is really good in your lifetime to be able to say and express and hold in your heart.
It's great that you've got that sort of give someone who has trouble with writing, you've got to giving them a running start in the book. In terms of how to start that forever letter.
Hi, I'm Carol Roth, creator of the Future File Legacy and Wishes Planning System, and someone who understands the importance of planning for life's inevitable twists and turns. If you're like most people, thinking about your legacy and the administrative aspects of life's eventualities isn't exactly top of mind, but it should be. That's where Future File comes in. Designed to provide peace of mind for you and your loved ones, our system guides you through organizing your essential information, wishes, and assets all in one place. Whether it's dealing with healthcare decisions, managing digital assets, or ensuring your financial legacy is preserved, Future File has you covered. Our goal is to minimize the stress and financial burden on your family during what will undoubtedly be a challenging time. With Future File, you're not just planning, you're protecting those you love by leaving behind the greatest gift, clarity during chaos. Take the first step towards a thoughtful and organized legacy today by visiting futurefile.com/David. Use the promo code EXECUTORHELP and get an additional 15% off on your purchase. Let Future File help you help your loved ones when they need it the most, because peace of mind is a legacy worth leaving.
I know our society today is, we love our celebrities. And I know you talk about some of the grave celebrity blunders. Yeah, blunders. I was going to say blunders. And one of them was Marlon Brando. Can you share his story of what you talk about in the book in terms of what he did wrong with his
estate? I put a number of celebrity blunders in there because people sometimes think that with wealth and fame comes tight-knit, but it isn't. And very often this stuff comes to light, like Prince, that was a big one. And there's a bunch of them in the book. But Marlon Brando, his mistake, you'll see what his mistake is as I tell you the story. He had a longtime housekeeper. I guess they got along and he really liked her. And one day he promised her that he was going to leave her a considerable sum of money. for after he was gone. And of course, she was happy about that because who doesn't like getting money? And even though she was probably very attached to him, the idea of getting money is in a will is okay, that's good. After the actor passed, she went looking for the will and the way that it was being dispersed. And he had never quite gotten around to adding it to his will, which meant that she was not entitled to anything. So she didn't clean up. She just kept cleaning.
Wow. And that's the lesson there is that you always want to update your will. And if there's any changes or any things that at that point, when it must have been some point in his life, he says, I'm going to leave something to you. He should have made that change right away, as opposed to
it needs to be in writing and it needs to be done correctly. You can't just scribble it in the margin. It has to be done according to the way that the law says. And then it's good. Then it's gold.
Wow. You know, I'm probably going to do another show in the future talking about celebrities because it's amazing. You would figure with all their wealth and fame, is like you said, that they would pretty much have their act together. Another example is Aretha Franklin. She had 5 holograph wills. And it was the 4th and 5th will, which was contested by her sons. And it was the one, there was one that was in a cabinet and there was one that was stuck between the cushions
in the couch,
the sofa, in the couch. Yeah. And they ended up going to court and it was the one that was stuck in the couch, which is the one that they went with. So you would figure with all the wealth, all of the resources and advisors that they might have at hand, you figure that they would be a lot more smarter. You mentioned Prince, all that wealth, no estate plan, nothing. And so that was a problem as well.
Right. Yeah. By the way, you mentioned a term that I have defined in the book, which is holographic will. A lot of people think that's something that just is a will that floats in the air. But in reality, it is a will that is simply handwritten.
It's not. It's not. Another thing I notice is that you don't mention the D word. It doesn't appear anywhere in the book, only one time. Why is that?
A lot of people don't want to take up estate planning because they feel a bit immortal or don't want that pierced. And the thing that pierces that is the D word. Unlike my first experience with my attorney and most books that you read on the topic, I decided to take the D word out of the equation for now. It comes back. But if you want a running start and death is what you fear, then we don't need to talk about it because we're talking about living on in the book. And that implied in that is that you won't be here. But I do deal with it. I have one page toward the front where I say, we're not going to be talking about the D word in this book. And here's how to get over it. And at least for the time being, and let's get on to living on.
I can't believe I'm going to ask you this, but someone actually asked you if you actually need an actual bucket. In what context did this happen? Did you get asked this? And what was your response?
I will tell you that alcohol was involved in that question.
Okay, then.
There was another party.
There's another D word.
I don't know whether they were making a joke or not.
That was another D word, disclaimer. Okay, go on.
But yeah, there's no bucket involved, but everybody knows what a bucket list is. And usually it's associated with vacations or things that you want to do with your life. And last bucket list is as it sounds, it's the last one that you'll write and it's about living on.
Do most people actually think of it as a bucket list? Because I know we did say, what's the difference between a bucket list and a will? You know, when you think about bucket lists, they think about, I'm going to skydive. I'm going to go climb a mountain. That's on my bucket list. Or I'm going to travel to Europe. Or I'm going to see the Great Wall of China. That's a bucket list. But you've put a new spin on it in terms of not mentioning the D word, but how to create a legacy by leaving forever letters, doing something special with the inheritance that would be live on with for the family, for the beneficiaries. Why the word bucket list?
You mentioned just now about a bucket list, about traveling, going to exotic places. And one of the chapters in the book has to do with going to exotic places, but sending your ashes there instead. And there's a whole chapter of all the things that you can do with your ashes that comprise your last bucket list. So for instance, you can launch them in a rocket. You can add them to fireworks. You can have your ashes sent to the four winds from the back of a Spitfire. I've got about 3 dozen ideas in there. And what's happened lately is that people have gotten very creative with the kinds of things that you can do. Originally, it was just a scattering. You take it to the ocean, take it to a park. And now there are things, all kinds of entrepreneurs and businesses that have sprung up to allow you the freedom to send your ashes and to create a ceremony for your family that involves, you can send it down, you have it go to a reef. You can have your ashes left in a coral reef. You can have them launched into outer space as they do now. That's gotten a lot of publicity lately, but there's also things that don't get a lot of publicity that you are fully capable of writing up and saying, this is what I want.
Again, it comes back to having this conversation with you. You've opened my eyes and hopefully people listening in terms of think creatively. And even though it's the end, there's still more you can do, even though you may not be here. And you can be as creative as you want, as you say, long as it's legal to leave a legacy that's going to live on. And you'll be remembered. Let's talk about the ways to, as you put it, keep your secrets secret. Is this a good thing or a bad idea? What do you suggest people do?
I think everybody has a story that they've heard about somebody else who passed and they went to clean out the house or the apartment and they came across things that they wouldn't normally have been privy to, sometimes a little nefarious or different or sexy or whatever. And everybody has secrets. So the question is, what do you want to happen to your secrets? How do you keep your secrets secret? And I've got 2 suggestions in the book. One is about getting your own cleaner, that you have a very good friend who you'll trust with your secrets, so that when the day comes, you've given them a map to get in there and a way to get in there to clean out the things that you don't want anybody finding, whether it's in a closet or on your hard drive or in a nightstand drawer. Or the other suggestion, which is I cover in one sentence, is just do it yourself while you can. Now,
would this cleaner be separate from your executor, or is that another responsibility that you're going to drop in their lap?
You could ask the executor to do it, or you could ask a real good friend.
Yeah. It's funny you should say that. A friend of mine passed away. I had to do some work, help out his wife with some work. And she gave me the laptop, saw stuff on the laptop I shouldn't be seeing. So I totally understand what you're talking about, because I was like, whoa. And I'm like, wow, what is this? And I had to pause. So the keep secret. You do need, I totally agree that you need some sort of cleaner. Some person.
Yeah, I've mentioned that. Everybody has an incidents like that. I have a friend who has diaries from when she was in high school that it's always in the back of her mind that she's worried that her son will come across them someday. And she really doesn't want him reading them, but she hasn't gotten rid of them yet or shredded them or whatever she would do with them. But in reading that chapter of the book, brought it to top of mind, and she's now considering what she's going to do about that because she does not want her adult son reading that stuff.
Wow. I can only imagine.
Right. I said, send it to me. I'll read it.
See, Rich, you're helping people. You're a giver. I can see that. You're a giver. God bless you that you would want to read her secrets and still look her right straight in the eye after. Really? Okay.
I'll have to trade something with her.
Not my business. Okay. To wrap things up, someone gets your book, Last Bucket List. What are they going to walk away from after reading it?
In one word. I can say that in one word is that is inspired. That they have gotten over whatever is holding them back from doing. It's really a life mission that you do for your loved ones and everyone around you to set this up and set it up right. If you do nothing, it becomes a disaster for them. But rather than using a negative stimuli, this is using a positive stimuli. The positive stimuli is love, that you will do this because you love them. And then you're leaving them. It's like icing on the cake about your life, that you're taking care of this life mission. And you're doing it in a creative way that very few people have ever thought to do.
Yeah. The book is, parts that I've read so far, again, and now having this conversation with you, it does open up the creativity that you could have within your estate plan. I know the book is not available at Amazon. Why is that? And how can people get their hands on it?
At this point, it's only available in one place in the world, and that is at lastbucketlist.com.
So lastbucketlist.com is the only place you can get the book.
That's right.
And I, again, what I've went through it, it's a lot of fun. The animation, the cartoons makes it a lot more easy to read, but it also makes you think. And then again, like I said, having that conversation, this conversation with you, it does open up the mind to being creative in terms of how you want your legacy and how you want to be remembered. I want to thank you, Rich Lipman, for being here on the show. Again, people want to get the book, and I urge them to go out and get it because it's a good read. It's a good, fun read. How can they get the book?
Just go to lastbucketlist.com and scroll down, and there's an order form there, and it'll deliver it within 3 to 5 days. And there's free shipping.
There is free shipping?
Yes, there is.
So it's just like Amazon.
Just like better.
Okay. Rich Lipman, thank you so much for being here on the Executive Health Podcast. I really appreciate it. I think because of you opened up my thoughts to being more creative, we should have another conversation down the road because you clearly got a lot of things to say. So once again, thanks very much for being here.
You're welcome. I appreciate it.
I hope you enjoyed the episode. Can you do me a favor? Show some love for the podcast by leaving me a rating and review on Apple Podcasts. Can you share it? And subscribe to or follow on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. I'm David Eady. Thanks for listening.